Welcome to the 8th episode of Digging Deeper, our podcast series where we take a deep dive into a particular topic. This episode is focused on building control, a profession which struggles with making its voice heard in a crowded market, yet one which is a vital component of the built environment and ensuring the safety of our buildings and those who occupy them. I'm Andrew Belt, UCEM's PR and social media manager, and joining me to share an insight into the profession are apprentices studying on UCEM's BSc Ons Building Control programme, Kate Andrews and Deborah Ferro. So first, please can you introduce yourselves, providing a précis of your career journey up to the present day? And Kate, if you'd like to go first.
Hi, yeah, I'm Kate. I currently work as an assistant building control surveyor at Stroma Building Control, but I have had a fairly varied career up until now. On leaving school, initially first time I went to do a degree in computer science and cognitive science, which I never completed due to family circumstances, and then went on to do a HND in business, thinking it would be useful for anything. And then I sort of had a variety of jobs just sort of like to keep going, as I think a lot of people do. So I worked at a newspaper for a while doing advert design and proofreading. And I worked at a service garage on the service desk, telling people how much money their car was going to take to fix. And then because I was looking at moving house, I got a maternity cover at the local council and in the planning department in admin to basically as a fill-in job. But I sort of stayed there for just under 2 years. And they sort of said, well, building control, we've got a admin post coming up if you're interested. So I applied for that and worked at local authority initially in tech support for about 10 years. And then for a further 2 years as a technician, which was a more technical member of tech support, which carried on sort of training to be a building control surveyor at that time. And then I moved across to the approved inspector, Stroma Building Control, as an assistant building control surveyor about 3 years ago, and that's where I am now.
Fantastic. Very varied career there, Kate. And Deborah, would you like to share your précis of your career so far?
So, yeah, very much the same as Kate. I've had quite a varied career. Left school, decided to do a gap year, spent a year in Australia travelling, got the travel bug. So decided that the best course of action would be for me to pursue a degree in distance learning. So I read an English degree at the Open University whilst also temping. So I have had a lot of administrative experience, so work in that kind of capacity, which meant that when I came back to my roots, when I returned to London, I was looking for work much in the same kind of realm of admin. This was after I then went on to do a master's in advertising, decided that advertising actually wasn't suited to my skill set. I returned to admin and got offered a job at an approved inspectors in central London. I was with them for a year before I decided that I preferred to be more involved in the technical side of things, simply because I was supporting a team of surveyors, but I'd often be the first point of contact from the clients. And it was quite difficult to receive calls and not be able to engage with them in the way that I wanted to. So with the support of my company, I've been put onto the degree with UCEM, which means that I can continue to work for my company as an assistant building control surveyor, but also train as part of my role as well.
Fantastic. So yeah, it wasn't something from the very off that you thought you both wanted to work in building control, and you've tried out a few different things before landing upon it. So the big question following that is, why did you pursue a career in building control? And Deborah, if you'd like to go first.
Yeah, so as I said, I think I came in from the administrative angle where I was supporting the surveyors. But obviously found it quite frustrating when I couldn't engage with the clients. I was predominantly tasked with looking at or issuing the legislative documents. So things like an initial notice I'd have to send to the council. And it was very process driven, but I'd be in an office environment listening to the conversations between surveyors and really wanting to chime in, but obviously with very little knowledge, except for, you know, the kind of conversations that were happening in the office, not having a platform to be able to do that. So I effectively put up my hand and said, look, I feel like I not so much gone as far as I can in my role, because admin's also quite a varied role, but I wanted a bit more of a challenge, and they were willing to support my journey to become more technically trained rather than just technical support.
Fantastic. And Kate, same question to you. Why did you pursue a career in building control?
Yeah, so as I said, I didn't really pursue it initially. I fell into the role after being in planning for a bit, just as another role to do. I, at the time, had a young family and I was trying, obviously, to support my family rather than looking at having a career as such. But I, as I say, spent quite a long time in admin, and very similar to as Deborah's saying, when you're in admin or tech support, however you want to sort of refer to it, there's a lot of interaction with clients and you hear all the conversations going on and you start picking up things anyway, the longer that you're in there. As I was in tech support for so long, you end up sort of picking up information anyway. And it sounded very interesting to me because there's a lot of different variety and, you know, that there's always new things to know about, new things to learn. So it, to me, somebody who gets bored really easily, I thought, actually, this is a career that is going to keep me entertained, so to speak, because there's always something different, it's never the same. So for me, that kind of worked really well as a way to, yeah, sort of pursue my career once my family and my young children were all in school.
So the variety was something which you found appealing about working in building control. So bit of a difficult question to follow up with, but could you talk me through a typical day in the role? And Kate, if you'd like to go first with this one.
Yeah, I mean, as sort of said, with the variety, there isn't really a typical day as such, because it will really depend on your workload, where you're covering, where you're based in the country. But I mean, I suppose I work from home as well. I don't work from an office. When I was in local authority, I was in an office, but now I'm proven inspector, I've been working from home for the last 3 years. So I will start off, and we, on our sort of database system, we have a task-based system. So I'll make sure that I've got any urgent tasks on there that I will deal with them, which will usually involve quotes for new work and checking if any sort of site visits are needed on that and how urgent they are. Most days I will do site visits, depending on where you're working will depend on how many and how far you have to go. In the local authority, when I was sort of training, the sort of area I was covering was very, it was maybe 10 miles from one area to the other. Whereas as at the improvement inspector, up until very recently, I've been covering an area from 80 miles. So there'll be some days like 200 mile round tip by the time I've done all my visits. So I'll be out on site all day and won't be able to do any other work. But then there are some days where I'm in the office all day and I'll be checking plans to make sure that they comply with BUN regulations. I'll be answering emails and phone calls, helping clients, answering their questions and guiding them in best ways, not even the best ways to do things, but on alternative ways to do things and helping in that respect. It's a very customer focused role.
And that's a good mix of both office-based work and or home office-based work and going out on site. So Deborah, would you agree in that respect? So in terms of your typical day in the job, what does it look like for you?
Again, there is no one day that looks the same. It very much depends on how well a job is going. I spend a lot of time engaging with agents and architects that have queries. Where before, initially when I went into the role, I was going on site a lot more shadowing. But actually, my business is looking to make sure that the right people are in the right role, so to speak. And they found that they have taken a particular liking to the way that I process plans or plan check or plan review, rather. Recently, I went through what's called like a competency exercise to make sure that the kind of plans that I was being asked to assess, so for simple domestic projects, for example, I was able to, you know, engage with those plans sufficiently to a point where I'd be allowed to issue those to the clients myself. And they've got me to a certain point now in my role that they decided that they want me to be the office plan assessor, which frees up time for other surveyors to go to site. Of course, I still go to site myself and I have my own projects that I project manage, but a lot of my day now is spent looking at different plans, engaging with my clients, looking at the inspection notes for other people that might have attended my site, uploading my own site inspection notes, and then having conversations with the people in the office that are supporting me. So if I've got any queries, I've seen something on site that I don't particularly understand, something that's a bit new or something that I'm not sure of, there's still room for me to engage and continue my training in that respect as well.
So a lot of different tasks which you're taking on there, and you mentioned there planning, client engagement, and other projects which you're working on simultaneously. So for people, this is for Deborah, I mean, if for people who think that building control maybe is simply a case of ticking boxes based on building regulations, what would you say to them? From what you've just said there, there is more to it than just that. But what other core skills and knowledge bases do you implement in the role?
Well, I think that there is a misunderstanding that it's very much a tick box exercise. It's not at all. I mean, if that were the case, I'd start at 9 and finish at 5 on the dot every day. And that doesn't happen. There are numerous requirements that are, you know, laid out in the building regulations, but sometimes there are multiple ways of achieving compliance. So I have to interrogate plans that are put forward or the things that I've seen on site that might not be consistent with, you know, the plans and are not perhaps compliant, and direct the client to ways in which that might be satisfied. However, we are restricted in the sense that we're not allowed to design. And I think there's a misconception that, you know, building control can tell you exactly what you need to do if something's not compliant. That's not the case. We can certainly direct you to what the standard is, and the approved documents, for example, they set out minimum standards. Some clients want to exceed those. So yeah, it's not straightforward, and some things don't always go right. When they go right on site, that's great. But in fact, a lot of the learning comes from the instances where things are not going right on site. So there are pros and cons, but it certainly isn't, it's much more complex than that, I think, in the role. And it's very varied as well, which is probably one of the things I enjoy most about it. I interact with a plethora of different people and get various queries throughout the day. Some things are familiar to me and I'm able to answer them. Some things might require a bit of conversation with my colleagues in-house. So yeah, very, very varied. That's certainly not a simple job.
Following on from that question for Kate, what kind of person would a career in building control suit? I mean, there, Deborah, you're talking about negotiation skills as well. So presumably that's one skill which would be useful to have in order to flourish in the profession. But what other skills do you think are really useful to make the most of a career in building control?
Yeah, so as you say, and Deborah said there, being a people person is really important, because it's not what you're saying a lot of the time that matters. It's how you're saying it and how you are helping others to understand what is required, rather than telling them what to do. As you said, we can't design something, so we have to be careful in terms of telling what to do. But there's no help to anybody if you just go on site and say, no, that's wrong, fix it. Because most people don't understand why it's wrong or, you know, how to fix it. So being a people person is so important. You also have to be pragmatic, because it's never black and white and straightforward, because maybe that something on site doesn't look like it works, but actually it could work, and it's just trying to see whether or not that would be the case. To a certain extent, again, we're not designing, but being good at problem solving may be quite good, because then you can discuss through with the clients on site, the builders and architects, ways of doing it, and you can sort of help them come to a solution without coming to that solution yourself. Having that ability just to see how things work, I think. So you don't have to be excellent in working things out in terms of maths and that side of things. It's useful to have sort of basic knowledge, but it's just being able to see how something works, and having a bit of common sense is always a good thing as well, because yeah, that is something that is pretty useful.
Probably in most jobs, common sense is always a helpful tool to have. You know, at the top of the podcast, we were saying that you're both apprentices on UCEM's Building Control programme. You're nearing your endpoint assessment as well, so not too far off completing the apprenticeship. So how have you found the apprenticeship, and what will doing the apprenticeship do for your career? And Kate, would you like to go first on this one?
Yeah, so as an apprenticeship, often apprentices will, you think of somebody who's come straight from school into the role, and it is good for that, because it means that they can get on-the-job training at the same time as having classroom-based training. But for me, it's useful because there's the allowance of having a day work time a week to be able to do my university work, and at the same time as obviously developing myself within my profession. In terms of the apprenticeship, with it being a degree, that degree is a very good stepping stone in terms of helping me to become chartered and to show my professionalism within the industry.
Right stuff. And Deborah, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe what people would think is the typical apprentice. I'm not fresh from school. I'm slightly older, so I'm 35. But obviously, people's career paths may change, or their circumstances may change, which lead them, you know, into an industry, certainly for me, that I hadn't even heard of before. Building control, had no idea what building control was. And I was used to the distance learning side of things. So UCM is very much an online program, webinars, I interact with the material online. But I was used to that, having, you know, been with Open Uni previously. Yeah, I mean, being older, it was probably a bit more difficult for me to envisage changing a career and having the kind of training that the apprenticeship allows me to do. I don't have to give up working full time to still train and become a building control surveyor. I get day release, which allows me to study, but the lifetime of my degree as well, all of that will count towards my industry experience. So whilst I'm still essentially a trainee, I'm doing the job. I'm already doing the job, and that's going to count with my credentials. It's going to help me towards chartership and certainly bring in new learning experiences, which I can use later on once I've finished my degree.
Yeah, really good points you both make, that apprenticeships, they're not just for people who've left school. Obviously, in your cases, there's the opportunity to study a university degree, which perhaps wouldn't be possible otherwise. And also from a business perspective, can be used to upskill employees as well by using the apprenticeship levy. So yeah, a different perspective, perhaps, from what people maybe always see. You know, every National Apprenticeship Week, it tends to focus on that sort of post-school level, but there's so many different types of apprenticeships you can do, and clearly you two are both proof of that. Basically, just got three more questions to end on, basically, and this is to wrap up and to really get a sense of building control and what it's all about and your thoughts on it. So first off, I've got, why do you think people should consider a career in building control? And Deborah, if you'd like to go first for this one.
I think a career in building control speaks to, you know, a number of different skills or skill sets. I mean, we've talked about communication skills, negotiation skills, but it's actually really refreshing to be in this podcast with a female system building control surveyor as well. You know, I think there's an idea that building control being, you know, all about the built environment, very closely related to the construction industry, it's a male dominant world. That's not the case at all. I actually, in my own team, have another female surveyor. So yeah, it's a varied career. It's a career that opens the window to other industries as well. I didn't know how a building was built before. Now I understand the process a bit better. I interact with architects, the general public. I review structural steelworks. It's a lot of skills, certainly.
And Kate, do you have anything to add about why people should consider a career in building control?
Well, really, I mean, as we've already said, there's such variety and you're always learning. There's always new things, new technologies and ways to do things. It's a really good opportunity to actually feel like you can actually make a difference to the built environment. And if you're interested in sustainability and that side of things, it actually gives you, you know, an opportunity to help educate other people in ways of helping, you know, to become more sustainable as well. So it's not just a straightforward 9-to-5 boring office job where that there's nothing to gain from it. I think everybody kind of gains, but myself, I'm constantly developing myself, but I'm also helping others to, you know, to learn new things as well. And I think to me, it's just, there's so much variety and so much interest. You can't really get bored. So I think it's just a really interesting career.
In addition to that, why does building control matter? And Kate, if you'd like to go first.
Most builders want to do things right. Building control matters in the respect that it helps them to do things right. And those people who don't want to do things right, who do want to take the shortcuts, it does stop those people from being able to do that a lot of the time. So it matters so that we can make sure that the buildings that we are making are safe to use. People aren't going to have adverse effects to themselves in using them, and that they are sustainable and usable for the future.
Fantastic. Deborah, what would you say to that question?
it's very much about maintaining standards or having, you know, I've said before, the approved documents which support the building regulations are a way of meeting the minimum standards. But certainly with builders or contractors, they might have a let's say a economic incentive where we don't, we're a third party, we're impartial, and our goal is to make sure that the building regulations are observed. And a lot of that is about us educating as well. So, you know, sharing our knowledge. We have to do CPDs, we have to keep up to date with the regulations as they change. You might go to site and interact with someone who's been a builder for, you know, several years. They might not get the same exposure to the education that we have. So building control surveyors and assistant building control surveyors are able to share their knowledge and pass the knowledge on through the industry to the relevant people who ultimately it's going to affect.
Yeah, and a really important role in that respect, so that the regulations which are there are implemented and aren't ignored. And finally, I just want to ask you both, what do you enjoy? I know you've mentioned already, but to finish off in however you wish to close, closing statements on what you enjoy about working in the profession. So, Deborah, if you'd like to go first.
Mine is that it's a people-centric job. I get to engage with so many different people on a day-to-day. Probably the thing that I enjoy most is relating my work back to approved documents or British standards. When I get a query and a client might need to understand why something is the way it is, producing that communication, that email that outlines what needs to be done, where that, like where that's come from, so where that regulation originates from. I quite enjoy communicating the requirements to my clients in such a way that it makes it more accessible to. Sometimes I get clients that are perhaps the homeowners and they don't understand what building control is, and we have to make sure that whatever we communicate to them is accessible and they can understand it. So I quite enjoy that side of things.
And Kate, what would you say, close in what you enjoy about working in the profession?
I do enjoy sort of the people sort of side of things, but I think for me mostly I enjoy the variety and the continual learning and the sort of problem solving sort of elements of it and helping others to do that. It's just a career that I just can't ever see myself getting bored of.
Variety, people centric and yeah, opportunities to really bring in an inquisitive mind about how you problem solve issues on a building site, that sort of thing. So there's a lot really which has really come through from your insight. So thank you, Kate and Deborah, for your time and helping us on this deep dive into building control. It's been great to hear about your journey and what you make of the profession. And if you would like to learn more, why not visit our What is Building Control webpage on ucem.ac.uk/what-is-building-control, which includes links to details of our undergraduate and apprenticeship building control programmes. Thanks for listening.